Hey guys, I'm Mark Potter. Welcome to another episode of Brushstrokes, a podcast powered by Canvas Magazine. Guys, today's episode is brought to you by Conduit Incorporated. When they ain't biting, catch them with custom content. Visit www.conduit-inc.com for all your custom content needs. I'm really, really excited about today's conversation. It is with a woman that I've known for a while, Mary Beth Smith. She is pretty well known within the industry. She is the person that invented Girls Who Print and is a strong advocate for diversity in our industry, in the workplace. She's been a great voice for women in the printing industry. But more than that, she is a devout follower of print. She is an evangelist of print, and she is also someone who's done a lot of work with the next generation of worker for our industry. She is someone who has played in multiple roles. She has been in the printing industry. She has been an evangelist, and now she has a business called Park Cities Publishing. So she also is a evangelist for the publishing process. And as you all know, I'm a believer that the publishing process is how we engage going forward. Not trying to make a shameless plug for what we do, but I believe it's a sincere form of engagement. It's a great way to find stories. It's a great way to engage with others. And so Mary Beth and I had a long conversation about that, along with the next generation and what and who and how we should get involved with changing within our industry. So she's as passionate as any other guest I've had, and I am extremely proud to have had her spend some time with me. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Mary Beth Smith.
Mark Potter, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great.
It's good to hear your voice.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. Our accents are different, but I think we're always on the same page.
Yours is much more compelling than mine. I've got that Western Pennsylvania kind of nondescript, no accent whatsoever, and you've got kind of that Southern charm thing going on, don't you?
Oh, sure, you know it. It's funny, when I moved out to New England from Texas, I'd walk into an office, and within just a couple of sentences, heads would start peering around doors to see who is that. I was quite the novelty in Boston.
That's good. Well, see, that's, you know, we all have our little defining characteristics. They make us unique. They're our little thumbprints, if you will. So
exactly.
How are things in your world?
Things are good. I think, like all of us, they're busy this time of year. School is back, so people are printing, businesses are preparing their projects for the final quarter of the year, and it just stays busy, very busy. How about you?
Same, you know, it is a, I think it's always going to be busy from here on out. You know, you and I have, when we were talking before, it's a world that is a bit unsettled, you know, and I think that's going to be the new norm, is that nothing is going to be predictable and nothing is going to be kind of easy. We're going to have to continue to reinvent ourselves all the way up to the end. And there's two, you know, you can look at that as a frustrating thing, or you can look at it and say, hey, it's the spice of life. So I feel like you're right. It's a busy time of year, but I think it's going to be busy forever because we're unsettled. Do you see or feel the same things?
I do, for a number of reasons. One, we're on the cusp of this massive change in staffing needs, both due to technology and due to the what they're calling the silver tsunami, which is the baby boomers beginning to exit the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a lot of turnover within the industry just on that alone. And then, as you say, the pace of change is so dramatic. I think one of the things that keeps us really busy as printers is, frankly, keeping ourselves up to date on what's developing.
Right.
The methods of communication, how they integrate with print. So that takes time to read, time to research, time to forge new alliances. So just adding that into day-to-day operations can be a challenge for people.
Yeah, I agree. I've said countless times to people that our industry, well, the whole world's going through this change, and our readership is probably, I've browbeat them with this message, is that they're defined by who they stand for and not necessarily the assets under their roof and what they do. And I think you saying that keeping up to speed with new methods of communication, and there is a, that goes back to that whole unsettled world we live in. You've got to constantly educate yourself. And I think the only way to do that is to constantly be taking the temperature of the buyers of the world and the marketplace, and being more knowledgeable and more intimate with the marketplace. You know, that we can certainly know the latest and greatest about print technology, even in today's world where there's all this hubbub about inkjet technology, but you're right, and I think it is what's going on in the marketplace. That's where I think the real jewels are, if people can get there. I'm just not sure enough people are focused on that constant learning. Do you think?
Well, and it is a continual education endeavor, no doubt about it. Certainly, social media can be of great value there. If you're careful to build up your network and see a lot of viewpoints that may not necessarily be your viewpoint, but they're acquainting you with what's going on in the marketplace, what people are looking for. One thing that I think is really interesting, I look at three tiers. You have manufacturers who mm-hmm. live for the future. They're mm-hmm. always looking at what has to happen down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're looking at the printing companies themselves who are living in the present. What am I doing right now? And some of us are actually living in the past. What have I been doing for the last 20 years?
Right.
And do I really have to do it differently? Then within the industry, you have another tier, which is the students, the right. workforce who is coming up. So you have students who are now being trained in technology. You have manufacturers who are developing technology. So what happens to the printing companies in the middle?
Right.
Are they prepared both for the workforce that's coming in and the technologies that are going to drive the marketplace and the marketplace interest going forward? Because, frankly, the manufacturers have a strong interest in marketing to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to drive interest in these technologies. They want them to understand what's going to be possible. So I think the burden is on printing companies to understand that is what the marketplace is being driven toward, and can you keep up?
Yeah.
There's a big question.
It's an enormous question, and one that has to be answered not in, you know, a finite time period, I think it has to be answered every single day from here on out. And that is,
yeah,
you know, it's a you've got to recommit to this idea of understanding the world beyond what you know. And I feel passionate that it's exhausting. Don't get me wrong. It's exhausting because some of us, you know, you put in, you know, 20, 30 years in the industry and you start to go, you know, or in any endeavor, and you start to think, gosh, haven't I kind of paid my dues? Can I put my feet up a little bit? That's just not the way it goes. So it can be exhausting, but on the flip side, it really is the spice of life. And we, you know, doing something and expecting it to just kind of roll and you know, getting into a job or a business and think it's just going to stay that way forever, actually can be pretty soul draining. And so, you know, you try to say, look, yes, we have to have a growth mindset. We have to be educating ourselves. And now, look, I have seen a number of printers across the country. I've visited with some of them, and there are a good portion of them that are really, really doing well. And certainly there are some that are doing well because others have failed and they've picked up the slack, or they've gone out of business and picked up. But there are a solid group of people that are reinventing themselves by being closer to the marketplace and understanding the dynamics and adapting their business to the marketplace. And so I still have some hope, you know?
Oh, very true. It's a delicate balancing act in many ways, because the marketplace is going to be a mix of customers, and no one knows this better than printers. They understand that they have, you know, there's a base in your, you know, there's a group in your customer base that is going to continue to do exactly what they've always done.
Mm-hmm.
But the balance is beginning to tip to the other group, which is younger and more technologically savvy within the customer base, who are going to begin putting demands on printers. In fact, they already are. Mm-hmm. So there's tremendous opportunity for us as printing companies. But we do have to, yes, you do keep one foot in the present and in the past, but you have to be looking to the future, and you have to be moving forward. You may not be able to do everything that you want to do, but you can start somewhere, even if it's just online ordering or online billing.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing people to pay online, or having samples. If there are processes you can automate, then go ahead and jump into that and at least begin growing toward being more technologically comfortable and preparing to have a workforce that is highly educated and highly trained and can also help drive your business to greater heights.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you're talking about is getting out of your own comfort zone, and obviously understanding the marketplace better, understanding that this, you talked about staffing needs, that kind of stuff. Now, you know, you look at the dynamics of the workforce and you look at the history of industry in general, but specifically our industry, and you've tapped in to a couple things that you're passionate about. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about publishing, and we can talk about I want to come back to the next generation a little bit, but you're also talk a little bit about, and you're very passionate about women in print, girls who print, as you call them, and speak to that in terms of what your endeavor is there and why it's so critical.
Well, I think it's very interesting. From the time I began Girls Who Print in 2009, which was originally just a little discussion group on LinkedIn that apparently resonated with women within the industry and became this sort of grassroots movement. From that time until now, every educator I have spoken with tells me that anywhere from 80 to 90% of their students are women.
Wow.
So we have this influx of highly skilled, highly technically savvy women coming into the workforce. They are passionate about printing. I had the privilege of speaking at the Printing Industries of New England Women in Print Luncheon 2 weeks ago, and we had one table that was filled with young women from the Shaoxing Technical High School graphic arts program. Huh. They can't wait to get in the industry. They are so excited. They took notes during my entire presentation. They stayed, they asked questions, they met people. And I've seen this over and over and over at Graph Expo, at Print 17, at Print 13. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. These kids are excited about the industry. Our educators are doing a fantastic job of preparing them. The women who have come through the ranks propel this industry. It's amazing what I hear people tell me. Mm-hmm. Women who are starting companies on their own, or women who have taken over companies through, say their families owned a company for a generation or two,
mm-hmm.
or women who have been widowed and take over the company and keep it running. So women are definitely finding their voice within the industry. I would like to see more women take the step into management,
mm-hmm.
and into understanding the business side of the industry, understanding how to get financing if they want to start a company. Right now, there seems to be a big concentration in sales and marketing. Although there are plenty of women in management, still, I believe that the research I've seen shows that the bulk of women who are in management are in positions of sales and marketing. So I'd like to see more operations people. I'd like to see more finance people. But what I hear women say about the printing industry is that they're in love with it.
Hmm.
They love this industry. And they're going to continue to. They're passionate about communication. And that's been my great pleasure in being girl number one of girls who print, is that I get to know these women. It's very exciting.
Well, and I think that it speaks to a bigger deal, and that is, you know, I think that this industry is a pretty fabulous place, and it is actually pretty ripe with talent, thoughtful people, and when you talk about the technology, that kind of stuff. What we're struggling with is getting to these students, getting to this emerging market of young women, young people, period. I mean, this is, we've got two issues here. Is one, expanding to women to let them know, gosh, how cool this industry is, but even younger people in general. And I think that people don't realize that when you get in, it's like, holy smokes, we're really tapped into communication in general, marketing, there's technology. When you look at these printers that I speak of that are doing some fabulous stuff, I'm telling you, they've got designers on staff, they've got people writing code. And so it's just a matter of getting the masses to really understand that we've got to expand our horizons. And so it's...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would like to see every organization and association that's involved with scholarships and outreach do a concerted outreach to high school guidance counselors. Right now, the guidance counselors still view printing as a craft. It's a blue-collar job in their eyes. And to really reach out and make them aware of how much opportunity there is, that this is a high-tech industry now, I think we would see more interest starting in the secondary school level as opposed to those who make it through and decide to go on to a graphic arts and graphic communications program at the collegiate level. But I'd love to see more outreach to the high school guidance counselors.
Yeah. What do you see? So when you hear from young people in general and young women specifically, what are you hearing about what their needs are? Because I think that's valuable for people to understand. What are the kind of things that they're looking for out of a industry, out of a business?
Well, it's interesting. They always ask me, what are your recommendations? What do I need to know? So they want to know what they don't know.
Yeah.
Which tells me that what they need is mentoring.
Right.
They need to understand what a career path is. Mm-hmm. They need to understand that it's important to begin doing some internship.
Mm-hmm.
I would highly recommend to young people who are coming into the industry to try to work for a larger corporation, at least at the beginning of your career, because you're going to be on the cutting edge of what's coming up for the future. You're also going to have opportunities for continuing education. I think that's very important. And they're going to understand, they're going to get an education in how business works.
Right.
You know, that whole supply chain from manufacturer down to the printing company to the end user. I think that's a great piece of advice for them. Also, they want to know how to finance their education.
Sure.
You know, understanding that there are scholarships available and that that the industry wants them to be part of the continuum.
Sure.
So I think those are big things for them.
Yeah, I think a challenge in this day and age, I've talked about it on this podcast before, I've written about it, and I still believe that young people today want what you said, and that is to be mentored, to be educated, that they're starving for that. There's definitely more of a gap. I think there, back in the day, you know, we would come out of college and we may not know what we really wanted to do, but we had a mindset that of curiosity and maybe even some nervousness. And that was a good growth mindset. That generationally was a positive. Today, I feel like the young people are coming out. I still think they're starving, but I don't think they realize they're starving. You know, we've raised these kids in a bubble, and they come out with great confidence. But sometimes we've got to learn that confidence is earned, and that there's got to be some stumbling blocks. And so I think that it's our job in the private sector to kind of peel that back for them a little bit, open their horizon, you know, open their own horizons by showing them that, you know, yeah, you don't know everything and there is some amazing stuff. So I'm glad to hear that you're seeing that, because that's important. We need people coming in with fresh eyes, and a level of curiosity that fuels growth. I think that's critical. I really do.
Yes.
Tell me about, let's take, I like to take a step back. I like to always do the, because I want to come back to publishing a little bit, and I want to get a little bit of your advice and take on the industry. But let's talk about Mary Beth, and let's talk about the chronology of Mary Beth. Tell us, you know, give me a little bit of the story, the 411 on yourself in terms of historically, how you got to this point, how, you know, you're doing Park City's publishing. And I want to talk more about that, but give me the 411 on what got you here.
Well, educationally, I began as a music major, majored in pipe organ.
Oh, cool.
There's a career path for you. and I did teach music for many years, but following a divorce in the early 1990s, I needed something that would provide health insurance and benefits and get my kids through college. So I moved over into marketing, which pulled me on into the printing industry. I had always been somewhat entrepreneurial. I had published a couple of vehicles in the 1970s and 1980s just on my own, and had some really interesting experiences. I was always a communicator. But I found that all of these things sort of cobbled together and landed me in the printing industry in the mid-90s in Boston. And I was fortunate enough to work for a company that put every single hire through 6 weeks of classroom training in the industry.
Oh,
no
wow.
matter what position you were hired for, you learned it from the ground up. You spent time in the press room. You spent time in pre-press. You spent time learning how to write job specs. You learned customer service, sales, marketing. You went through everything. Operations.
That's awesome.
The works. Companies don't generally do that. That was Copy Cop in Boston. And, of course, unfortunately, Copy Cop is no longer with us, but I still retain great friendships with many of my colleagues from those days. And we all have great memories of the heyday of Copy Cop in Boston. So I did come back to Texas about 13 years ago and went to work for an Alpha Graphics franchise in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And last year I retired, my version of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I had begun a publishing division while I was with the company, and I brought that with me. So I am now handling that on my own,
mm-hmm.
and that's been a blast. But yes, there is a reinvention. There's a continual education, and I wouldn't change a thing.
That's great. That's awesome. Well, I think, see, and there's magic in those stories. You know, we're all a product of stories, and that's why I always ask, you know, about, you know, how people got there. Give me a little bit of the history. And think about that. Think about when you started out and your voice raised, when you talked about the training that you received and the six
mm-hmm.
weeks and how robust that was. And think about how you responded and how that carried through your career. Someone took the time
yeah.
to invest in you. It wasn't even the money. It was they took the time to invest and educate. That's what I'm talking about, is that there is great opportunity.
Yeah.
It's hard because everybody is so focused on ROI. You know, they all want to say, I got it. If I'm spending a dollar, I better get it back. Well, gosh, it doesn't work that way. I mean, if that were the case, then we all should go to Vegas and just play the slots, because it just doesn't work that you spend this and get a guarantee back. What happens is if you invest over time, whether it's effort, time, a level of sincerity and empathy in people, it somehow comes full circle. And I just find that's fascinating, that company, unfortunately no longer around, but you're to this day still talking about that. And so
yes.
I do think there are companies. I think it's a little bit, I don't know, antiseptic for us to say, oh, this is the way it used to, because I went through a bunch of training too when I first got in, and it's easy for us to say nobody else does it. I think there are some good companies that are putting their arms around people and investing them. And those people could still leave, but overall, that culture of that company, you know, it's sustainable, and so that's
yeah.
really fun. That's really fun that that you got that. What are some of the, if you said, okay, over this career, you know, what are some of your most intimate values? You know, what are those core things that you think have sustained you, made you successful, and that you've even tried to pass on to people who have either worked for you, with you, or even your kids?
Well, you know, there are a few things. One, on the professional level, and this goes back to my musician days, I learned as a music director that the difference between an amateur and a professional is who can keep going when nothing's going right. The amateur, anyone can do something pretty well when everything's going right.
Right.
But when nothing is going well, the person who can keep going and make it happen, that's the mark of a professional. And I have found that to be true all the way through my career. As a printer, as a speaker, as a musician, as a performer, the ability to make something happen when everything is not going well makes a huge difference. And I found that for customers, that was always very reassuring to know that the company that I represented had their back.
Right.
That we were going to be professional. If we made a mistake, we were going to own up to it, and we were going to make it right. That's the mark of a professional. So I think that has been very important. And I think it also goes hand in hand with the idea that if you want to feel good about your life as years go by, you have to learn to push back against adversity. Because adversity comes, things go wrong, things change, things fall apart. You can't just let it wash over you and get lost in the flood water. My daughter used to say, well, essentially, you either get on the bus or get run over by the bus.
Right.
And I think that's true. So you develop that mental toughness of pushing back against adversity. That doesn't mean you have to be Pollyanna and, oh, everything's just fine, no problem.
Right.
Doesn't mean that at all. It just means you push back. You don't accept that everything's done for. You always push back. So I would say that has been an important part of my career. But I think the most innate thing that I have felt has stood me in good stead is that I am just innately curious about everything. When I see something new, I want to know more about it. I can't wait to jump into it. I'm an experiential learner, so I dive in, I get my feet wet, I swim around in it, I absorb it, then I try to distill it and teach it to other people. Or
right.
use it to help my customers. So I think that innate curiosity about all things new has been a big, big help to me.
Well, I think that's awesome. I do these podcasts, Mary Beth, for me. I don't know if anybody's listening or not because I just take notes. They're actually really good little self-help tools for myself. I love that concept around, you know, who can keep going when nothing's going right? I do like that. And certainly pushing against adversity, I think, is important. I do a whole Be the Buffalo thing that I believe in.
Oh!
You know, where
I love that.
The buffalo runs through the storm and the cow runs away from it. And the buffalo is through adversity quicker. And it's a great thing. But I also like the innately curious. And it's funny because I tell my kids, I don't think you can figure this whole thing out, but I try to tell my kids, look, if you have an attitude rooted in gratitude, if you've got the right attitude and some people might say, look, hey, you know, I want to have an attitude in faith or whatever it is, something that is a overwhelmingly positive. And I do like the fact that, you say not necessarily Pollyanna because you can't beat yourself in the head and smile and love it, but having a general feeling of hope, glasses half full. And then I said, and if you have this drive on the other side, and that's essentially, I think what you're saying is that, you've got to push through and you've got to be able to do that. But at the same time, you've got to have remarkable passion for curiosity. And I think that's what we're talking about today is that, we've got to open up our hearts and our minds to new possibilities, new endeavors, new horizons, and be curious, because that's really, in this unsettled world, is what's going to carry us through. So I mean, I really, really appreciate that. Tell me, before I let you go, so tell me about Park City's Publishing and what that's all about. And then I know you shared with me the other day the possibility of maybe doing some publishing something about with women in print.
Yes. You know, publishing, when I was in second grade, I was putting little saddle stitch books together with a friend. I didn't know they were called saddle stitch books, but I've always been fascinated by the printed word, by things you could read. That's part of that curiosity, I suppose. Park City's Publishing sort of pulls a lot of things together from my personal interests. One, it serves people who are kind of breaking new ground. Park City's Publishing provides full professional services for self-publishing authors. Everything from editorial to book layout, cover design, marketing, PR, website development. They can get all the same professional services that are available with a mainstream publisher. And I always tell people my chief goal is to make sure you don't lose your shirt when you begin self-publishing.
Right.
Because there are a lot of opportunities to spend in the tens of thousands of dollars and have nothing more to show than a cover design and an interior layout and maybe 10 books. Well, anyone who's been in the printing industry knows that's obscene.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's morally reprehensible, and I go on the record as saying that, which was my impetus to begin the division while I was still working, and then brought it with me. So now I work more or less as a project manager, general contractor, and pull together all the resources that I've developed over the years to help people get these books out. And I've been very pleased with what we've done. We're able to get our authors professional books. They're on Amazon. They're getting 5-star reviews, which is outstanding. We're getting them publicity, radio, book reviews, that sort of thing. So they have all the services at their fingertips, so that they can then maximize their profits, because that is one of the areas that I work with them on, is setting the retail price so that they're profitable when they do this. I want them to at least earn back what they've invested, and I would love to see them make a profit, depending on the size of the market for the book.
Sure.
So that's what Park City's Publishing is doing. Very exciting. It also gives me the opportunity then to bring in other professionals, freelancers, to help me put projects together. So it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah.
Now my end game with my personal publishing, I've had this in the works for about 2 years, just kind of pulling together what I wanted it to look like. And I'm going to be able to launch in 2018. I am going to be publishing a magazine for women in the printing industry. It's going to be totally different than anything else. It's, for lack of a better word, it's a lifestyle magazine for women in the industry.
That's cool.
Where I tell their stories.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about it. I have a working title. I'm not quite ready to release it yet.
That's
but it's going to be an exciting adventure, and I'm really looking forward to it. Every woman I've discussed it with loves it. The men all stare at me and go, "I don't get it."
Well, I mean, I think that's the world, is that you've got to, you know, people need to realize that publishing is a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And you've got to, and getting niche, getting as narrow and niched as you possibly can is critical. And that's kind of what we were talking about earlier, is that you've got to build a following. And a lot of times you've got to be able to do it by telling stories. And too often in the this world, the content, you and I have talked about this, and that's why I'm so proud of Canvas, is that, you know, we just don't do content around the you know, speeds and feeds. You know, there's other people that cover that.
Yeah.
You know, we're telling stories.
Right.
We're talking about what we're hoping that we're talking to or speaking to the lives. Like you said, you know, you're doing a lifestyle piece. I mean, at some point, the content has to speak to people. It has to speak to people in their own little world. So I think it's perfect for you. I wish you nothing but the best on that. And certainly...
Oh, thank you. Well, I look at it as an extension of Girls Who Print. It's really about building community. Because as a community, we are stronger, we have more impact, we have more influence, and we have the ability to impact future generations as a community.
So, okay, two last things then I'll let you go. First and foremost, if you think there's going to be a run after this podcast, do you think there's going to be a run on the pipe organ sales, or people that want to jump into the pipe organ world? Do you think there's going to be a big push for that now?
Well, you know, if they have an extra, you know, few million around to go out and purchase one, I'll alert the companies to be watching.
They are a big deal, aren't they? I mean, they
oh,
are.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I love that, and I think that's great. All right, last thing. So your parting advice. What if you said, look, if I could grab and put my arms around this industry and the people within it, you know, what do you think? What would you tell them?
I would tell them to remember print is not dead, and it's time to get excited.
That's good for you. Good for you. Well, Mary Beth, I can't thank you enough for taking the time. I really appreciate it. You know, the accent makes it even better. And so, this is great. This has been a lot of fun. And listen, so you and I are going to keep in touch, and we're going to keep kicking around some ideas. And I just can't thank you enough for spending some time with us.
Well, hey, Mark, it's been great. I love talking to you. And I can't wait to hear your podcast.
You got it. We'll be in touch.
Okay.
Thanks, Mary Beth.
You take care.
Take care. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Brushstrokes, a podcast powered by Canvas Magazine. My thanks go out to Mary Beth Smith. What an engaging conversation. I probably could have talked to her all day. I really am excited about people who see opportunity in this industry. And with her work at the Next Generation, or with the Next Generation, with her work with Women in Print, I feel like we're in a good place. I think that she is a person that represents what is good about our industry. And you can just tell in her voice that she loves it and that she understands that our industry is full of opportunity, that we are ripe for engaging marketers on a completely different level. So I just can't thank her enough. Again, a reminder that this episode was brought to you by Conduit Incorporated. If they ain't biting, catch them with content. Visit www.conduit-inc.com for all your custom content needs. I hope you all are having a wonderful fall. Get ready to warm up during the chilly holiday season. Thanksgiving is fastly approaching, and you know, that means good stuff. That means a lot of fun time with family, and we need that in this time where we're a bit unsettled. So a reminder to everybody out there to be the buffalo, and God bless.